to the July 7th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Outdoing Jesus. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to College Park. We are so glad that you are here for worship this morning. Several announcements that we've got as we're starting preparing for worship. We want to find out who is in worship this morning. There are pew pads that help us do that. They're on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, if you could put your name down and put the appropriate contact information and check the right boxes, that would be great. This is for every member and every guest. This helps us find out who was in worship today. We do ask you to send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Then we ask you to send it back. When it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful. Members, when it comes back by you, if there's a guest on your pew, this is your opportunity to find out their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once it gets back to the first person that signed it this morning, if you could rip out those pages that were used today, that will help our ushers as they gather that information at the end of the service. Let me see. I know Miss Cecilia Caldwell has an announcement. Come on down.
I get a lot of questions about this spoon. In 5 days, I get a daughter in love. My son's getting married, so I am not doing the cookie contest this year. But in 10 days, you get to be involved in the cookie contest. On Wednesday, July the 15th, you all can bring your favorite cookies and have them judged and win prizes. Now, Ruby Warren, Ruby, stand up. And Janice Farmer, stand up. See how good this thing is. This is one of my favorite spoons. They are going to be in charge of the cookie contest this year. And Ruby is one of our grand prize winners. So if anybody wants to know about cooking cookies, check with Ruby. So I want you all to support these ladies, and they are helping me out and helping us all out by having this contest. I'm probably more nervous about this announcement than I am about the whole wedding. So you all come out on Wednesday, July the 15th, bring your cookies. Any kind of cookies, any age person can participate. I'm sure they'd love to have children on up. Males, get in that kitchen. Let's see what you can do. So this is not for just the ladies. We want the gentlemen to bring us their entries. So we'll see you on July the 15th. And Ruby would like for your cookies to be here at 6:15 so the judges can get started. Thank you.
Bad memories from my childhood with spoons that size. We are looking forward to the cookie contest. Our Wednesday night Bible study is continuing this week. We invite you to take a look at all the announcements for upcoming events, as well as the opportunities for the week. Reminder about a couple of things. Tonight, our contemporary service, our life service, is happening at 7 o'clock tonight in Smith Hall. So we hope that you're able to come and be a part of that. Day camp is happening for our preschoolers and our grade schoolers. Tuesday preschool, Thursday is for elementary. Our youth are going on a Dan River trip this Wednesday. So several things that are happening. VBS is just a couple weeks away, and youth camp and several other things. So a reminder about a couple of things today. Children's time. We are having children's time. That's when the children come down front and they see Miss Sydney. That will happen after hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. So we invite all of our children to come down and visit with her at that time. Big Raj.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
before we get started on our mountain outreach conversation, I want you to look at this sanctuary. It's beautiful. But the thing that's more important to me than that is that you're beautiful on the outside of these four walls and helping people in ministry. I'd like to take this time this morning to everybody who's ever been to Kentucky working on this project of mountain outreach. Okay, you can be seated. I'm happy to tell you that our mission is accomplished. We built a beautiful home for a great family, and it couldn't be done without our young people.
Our young people are a backbone. Amen. Our young people are a backbone of our program. Our college kids, we had about 18 returning this year. Raymond referred to them as a 20-plus group. And they are phenomenal. They are taking leadership roles. Our program is in good hands for the future. And we just need to be thankful for the way they keep on supporting this program. And our young people are gaining skills every time we go, so our future looks great. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And we want to say a big thank you to Big Raj and all the people who played a leadership role in getting the house built. This was my fifth opportunity to go to Kentucky and to watch it happen. It's amazing. Monday, before we broke for lunch, all the interior walls were up. So that meant all the floor had to be done, the exterior walls, and the interior walls. It was phenomenal. It is amazing to watch Monday morning. And then by Thursday at dinner time, there is beds in the rooms, there are plates in the cabinets, and a life has been changed for a family. And it is an amazing ministry that so many prepared for, prayed for, gave money to, worked for. And so I'm very honored to be a part of that. And I think it's something College Park should continue to work on and continue to make better. It is just a marvelous ministry. Let me see. I think that's all the announcements that we have. We ushers, come on down. We'd like to give something to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pads just a few moments ago. If you're a guest this morning, our ushers are coming back down the aisles. Just raise your hand where you are if you're a guest. They'd like to give you a packet. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are especially glad that you are here for worship this morning, and we pray God's blessing would speak to you during this hour of worship. Let me recognize Raymond.
Many of you know, and it's very obvious, it was very obvious all over the place yesterday that this is Independence Day weekend. I enjoyed seeing some of our church members out at the fireworks festival at Louisville last night. It was a wonderful time of celebration. We do have a lot to celebrate. We have the opportunity as people to live in a country where we do have freedoms. We have freedoms that others would love to have. And the reminder, I heard someone talking as we were walking back down the street. It was a father giving words of instruction to his daughter, and he made the comment. He says, freedom is one of those things that we have to defend because we can lose it in a heartbeat. And he says, and all it takes is one generation messing it up. And I think he was kind of giving her words of instruction that she her generation should not be the one to mess it up. But anyway, he was teaching her. He was teaching her about freedom. And as we come together as God's people this morning, we know ultimately about freedom. We know about freedom in Christ, which is a much higher freedom. It's an opportunity that even when political systems are not suitable for personal freedoms to be expressed, that we still have freedoms in Christ. But I thought it would be appropriate for us this morning, as a congregation of people who live in a free country, to express our thanks for that. I want to ask if you would take your hymnal. There's a song entitled America the Beautiful. It is in our hymnal. It is hymn number 630. And Mary is going to come and lead us as we sing together, stand and sing together, hymn number 630. Standing, I know that our country is not perfect. We have a lot of issues that we deal with because it's made up of human beings. But we do have an obligation, I think, as God's people, to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders, to pray for one another as we work together to try to be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. And as I thought about that, yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we have opportunities to mess up, and sometimes we take royal advantage of those opportunities to mess up. But I was also drawn back to a passage of Scripture, which I know is very familiar to you, but I wanted to read that once again to remind us of who we are as God's people. And it comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the chance to be together in a country that is free from persecution, where we can meet together and worship together without fear. But Father, we also know that there's a great deal of responsibility that comes with that freedom. we have a responsibility to look to you. Look to you for guidance and wisdom as we interact one with another, as we make decisions about the future of our country, as we make decisions about how we will help and encourage one another, not just in our own country, but all across this world. Father, help us to be faithful stewards of the talents that you've given us. Help us to constantly seek your face, to be on our knees in prayer, seeking your will for our own lives. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave us eternal life, who allowed us truly to be born again. We ask in his name, amen.
Today I found myself, after searching all these years, and the man that I saw wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when you found me here. I was broken beyond repair. Then you came along, you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time in my life.
To me now, reassure my heart somehow that the love that I feel is so much more real than anything. I have a feeling in my soul, and I pray that I'm not wrong, that the life I have now, it is only like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time.
It feels like I'm breathing.
Feels like I'm born again.
Feels like I'm moving.
Feels like I'm living
for the very first time.
For the very first time.
Wasn't looking for something that was more than what I had yesterday. Then you came to me and you gave to me a life and a love that I've never known, that I've never felt before. Feels like I'm born again. Feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time. It feels like I'm breathing.
Pray with me. Father, those words ring so true. That only when we believe on you for the very existence of our lives do we know what it truly means to be alive. And to be alive in Christ. This world says it has the answers to all of life's troubles. It can fix any problem. Help you to forget all of your pain and all of your trouble. But Father, we know that it's not true. This world in reality is empty and it is cold and it is dark. You are the light. You are our life. Only in you do we find purpose. Only in you do we find the way to live for the very first time. So, Father, enter into this place, in this sanctuary, in this building that is full of your children, the body of Christ. Enter into this place, we pray. Speak to us. Change us. Mold us. Make us more like you. And remind us, you are the giver of life and life everlasting. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Question. Can I have everybody's eyes up here? Have you guys ever felt like somebody didn't like you? Have you ever felt like that? Does that make you feel really good or not so great? Yeah, not so great. Did you know that Jesus went back to his home after he had been away for a while, and his family and his community didn't like him? Isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, Jesus is pretty awesome. And you know what? Because they didn't, they weren't, you know, thumbs up for Jesus then, he wasn't able to perform miracles, and he wasn't able to do what he was supposed to do, which was to spread the word of God, right? But you know what? God was always on his side, always. He was always giving him a thumbs up, let me see him, thumbs up. Yeah, God was always giving everybody a thumbs up, right? And so I have a heart for each one of you. All right, I'm going to pass some this way, and if you'll just take one and pass them around. All right, and if you don't like your color, you can trade with me later. Okay, Rebecca needs one. Well, I'll give you one after I read this one, okay? And on your heart, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Did you hear that? Love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. And that can be found in 1 John 4:7. You can have that one. All right. So God loved Jesus. And you know what? God loves us all the time, all the time. So I want you to take your heart and take it home with you. And, oh, thank you. And I want you to put it somewhere where you're always going to see it this week. Maybe you can tape it on your mirror so you remember that verse while you're brushing your teeth or something. Yes. Well, that's okay. You can put it in your pocket, just somewhere where you can remember it, okay? You're going to go on vacation. Love it. Yeah, you can put it in your back pocket, front pocket, whatever works for you, all right? Okay, guys, we're going to pray. Are you ready? Okay. Dear God, thank you so much for this day and letting us come together with our friends. And God, thank you for loving us no matter what. Keep us safe this week. Amen.
I'm going to be reading first from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the words of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonder to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the land of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast and forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And then from 2 Peter 1-11. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith and precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. He has given us his great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith goodness to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and godliness to brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into eternal kingdom for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Will you pray with me? Most gracious and loving God, we come together in worship, and we come together to read your word, and we come together to talk with you. Father, we understand that you've given us gifts in all of those areas, so that we can, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, be born again and then come to your throne personally without an intercessor other than Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation with you, to ask from you, to give praise to you, to give thanksgiving to you. Father, sometimes we confess that as we approach your throne, it's all about us and what we want. And this morning we pause. We ask your forgiveness for being so self-centered and so selfish. We pray that today, at this moment, we would approach your throne and ask what you would have for us, what you would say for us and to us, what your will would be for our lives today and for this week. Father, we know that there is a great deal of hurt, and it would be very easy just to get overwhelmed with asking for help for everything. But Father, we pray that you would give us the gift of the Holy Spirit that will guide us and allow us to see where you want us to work with you this week. Father, we pray for all those who have infirmities, those who are sick and those who have lost loved ones, those who have received stunning news this week in regard to their own health, those who have lost loved ones this week, those who have lost parents specifically. Father, we pray that in each case you would allow us to be your hands and feet, to minister, to love, to encourage, just to be a shoulder to cry on, a hand to hold in compassion, a hug that needs to be given. And for all of these things, we will be your children, children who depend completely upon you. Father, we know that you're our daddy, that you desire the best for us. Help us to lean on you. Help us to hear your voice. And help us to be obedient, to minister as your children. For it's in your Son's name that we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you especially for a successful mission trip to Kentucky where we can witness for you. Please, as we now receive our gifts, please bless these gifts and use them in accordance to your will. In the name of Jesus, amen.
since it was Independence Day weekend, I started to do one of those really great religious freedom sermons and draw parallels and contrasts between religious freedom and political freedoms and all that. I started to do that, but then I looked at the lectionary text and I realized that all that discussion about religious freedom is really kind of a moot point without the person and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so with the lectionary text that we're here this morning, I read the gospel text, and I thought, that's just too intriguing not to spend time with. So with your forgiveness, I'm going to skip politics this morning, go straight to the gospel, and talk about outdoing Jesus. Now, the title may get your attention, and hopefully so, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But for right now, I want to invite you to take your Bible, turn with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and I'll be reading the first 12, 13 verses or so. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Sydney's already made reference to part of this, and good job, Sydney. Thank you for that. Verse 1, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They ask. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went about teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Wherever you leave a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And they went out, and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Outdoing Jesus. When you read that title, you may have thought to yourself, heresy, burn him. Maybe you did. You know, the sermon title in and of itself just seems wrong somehow. How could we ever think about outdoing Jesus? Doing anything better than Jesus? But that's kind of how this passage reads, or at least it appears to read that way. You know, the lectionary connects two stories. You know, a story where Jesus can't do a whole lot to another where the disciples shine. You know, it's something of kind of a narrative fluke, if you will. A snapshot that doesn't lie, but that if you take it by itself may lead to false deductions. It's kind of like a picture that I have, if I could find it. It's kind of like a picture that I have that was made when I was 13 years old. And I was at 4-H camp, and every year in the summer at 4-H camp, we had a 10-mile swim. And in this picture, I'm leading by at least 3 body lengths. Now, I didn't win the race because the picture was made on first lap. You see, sometimes the present is not a predictor of the future. Sometimes things aren't quite as they appear. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to kind of organize our thoughts around 4 points. I'm going to move through these pretty quickly, so stay with me. Stay focused. All right, the first point is Jesus can't do much. In this passage, he can't do much. And that's pretty amazing in and of itself. Because in the first story, Jesus goes back to his hometown where he teaches in the synagogue. Folks who've known him all of his life, who know his mother, who could call his siblings by name. They were all there. And they were astounded by what they heard and saw. But they couldn't connect the dots. You see, they're gathered around there and nobody around here taught this boy how to say these things, so how does he know that stuff? That's what's going through their mind.
Where did Jesus learn that? That's the carpenter boy. You know, he was a carpenter. Now, where did he come up with all of this stuff? So Mark describes their reaction to his teaching as one of amazement or astonishment in verse 2. Now, that could be good or bad. But mostly what it means is they were just confused. They were amazed. They were astounded. They were confused. They didn't get it. And at the end of verse 3, Mark writes this, and they took offense at him. That's the way the NIV says it. That's the way King James says it. That's the way New American Standard says it. They took offense at him. But more literally, what it means is they were scandalized by him. Meaning that somehow, in what he was teaching, he tripped them up with his words and his actions. They didn't get it. Now, some surprises are threatening. And this one, where the local boy has turned out so differently from what they expected, really shakes up the people. They don't understand it. And as a consequence, Mark writes this. He says, Jesus was unable to do a single miracle, except that he healed a few sick folks by laying hands on them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of understanding, their lack of belief. So notice first he stumped them. He stumped them by his ability to do miracles. And secondly, he stumped them by the fact that they didn't get it. They could not process all that they were witnessing. Now, neither reaction really is all that astounding if you think about it. Think about it, parents. Think about how you are having to learn new ways of interacting with your adult children. And vice versa. See, friends that you haven't seen since high school. You notice what kind of happens when you see them after a while? So, hey, so you still digging disco music? You still got those platform shoes? You still playing drums in a rock and roll band or something foolish like that? I mean, those type of things, if you don't believe those conversations happen, go back to your class reunions and just listen to some of the conversations. Why do those type of things take place? It's because there's been a time block between what you experienced with that person and what you're seeing now. And somehow you haven't connected the time to realize they might have changed in that time block between when you last spent time with them and what you're experiencing now. You know, for your part, you just want them to love and admire what you've become, forgetting that it will take time for them to learn to love the new you or what you have grown into. That's why for a lot of people, if they have a bad experience, they choose to move on. It's easier just to move on, go to a new community, set up roots somewhere else with a new image than it is to try to change people's misconceptions about who you are. That's why it is in communities of faith. It's important in churches, in this body of Christ. It's important for us to take the time to do the work to get to know each other. Now, suppose for just a minute that Jesus' neighbors had done this. As he is teaching, suppose that they were thinking, well, you know, he's changed, hasn't he? Well, I guess that's only natural. It's been a while. Jesus, we really didn't get that part. We're distracted by the fact that we're just not used to hearing that kind of teaching come out of your mouth. Could you back up and start again? Could you rewind the tape and help us understand what you were saying? What would have happened if they'd done that? What blessing did they miss because they didn't do that? Jesus couldn't do much. Second, the 12 could do much. And that was amazing. That was astounding. Jesus and his homebodies, they remained at loggerhead. And so Jesus had kind of an off day here, relatively speaking, healing only a few sick people. But, you know, that's kind of ironic. Because it said he really didn't accomplish a whole lot. He just healed some people. Isn't that ironic? We had come to expect so much, and the disciples came to expect so much. Mark writes, he really couldn't do a whole lot. He just healed some folks. Excuse me? Pardon me? That's not much. You know, and the disciples are there. They're witnessing what happened with Jesus and what happened with the people. But then Jesus, before they really even have time to debrief about that, Jesus sends them out and they have amazing success. He won't let them take any protection or food supplies or money, extra clothes, none of that. They're on their own. They're on a high wire without a safety net, and they go out in pairs, and Jesus gives them his authority. Now that may be a clue. And he tells them that some people will accept what they have to say and others will reject them, which they've just witnessed up close and personal. That may be another clue. And he tells them, don't worry about it. He said, if they take you in, great, stay and be grateful. If they don't, if they close their ears, knock the dust off your feet and move on. Don't look back. And Mark describes what they did and how they did it. He says they preached that folks should repent and cast out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Many. Not a few. Many. Sounds like a good day at the office, doesn't it? Good day, what'd you do today? Well, I healed a lot of people. Cast out demons. Just kind of running a little stuff for me. Can you imagine how those guys felt? They had to be stoked. They had to be. And it's amazing for at least a couple of reasons that I can think of. First of all, if you read the Gospel of Mark, if you go through and read this book in its total context, the 12 disciples really don't come out as really sharp, brilliant guys. You know, if you read Mark, they're rarely used as examples of the right way to follow Jesus. The previous chapter, chapter 5, verse 40, they come across as having no faith. That's just one chapter ago. In this same chapter, later on, they come across as being stubbornly unable to understand Jesus. In chapter 9, verse 18, there's nine of these guys. Nine of them, and they cannot expel one demon. So it's surprising that this story kind of goes like it goes, given the fact they're usually not presented as the model for how you should be a disciple. The second thing that's surprising is the obvious surprise about the juxtaposition of this circumstance coming on the heels of a situation where Jesus could only heal a few, while the disciples could heal many. So what do we make of all this? What do we learn from all this? Points 3 and 4 are lessons we can learn from Jesus about having a bad day. And point 4 is lessons that we can learn from the disciples about having a good day. Let's start with Jesus. You see, we're not surprised when Jesus heals, right? He's the Son of God. We're not surprised when he heals. We're more surprised when he can't. And we tend to look for an explanation. Why couldn't Jesus heal those people? And we're left with other people's failures, right? You see, it wasn't Jesus' fault that the day didn't go maybe as he had hoped. Nobody in Nazareth believed in him. And so his ministry didn't flourish because there was not fertile ground there. He did heal a few, but it wasn't the resounding success that the disciples had come to see happen day after day after day. And we should reflect on that. You know, if other people's lack of faith could stymie the Son of God's work, then what do you expect from yourselves as you leave those doors and go into this world? What do you expect? See, sometimes you follow God's lead, or you speak God's word, or you walk where the Lord leads you, and nothing happens. Or at least, that's how it appears at the time. Mark lets us see that even Jesus had days like that. Mark maybe would reach through time and say, don't let it get you down. It's God's saving word. It's God's power to heal. And there are other folks who need to hear it. And maybe something more than nothing happened. How can you know what God is going to do later because of your faithful witness? That's what we need to learn from Jesus' day. And finally, what do we learn from the disciples' day? They had a good day. I mean, these guys, it carried them for a while. It carried them three chapters later till they couldn't do it again. And then, you know, see, they're amazed. They're amazed. We're amazed as we're supposed to be because they don't have supernatural powers. They were sent under God's authority to do His work. They're not the Son of God, so we don't assume that they have special powers that we don't have. They aren't even particularly good at following Jesus. One of them would deny Him three times. One of them would turn Him over to the authorities, and every single one of them would run like scared children, abandoning Him after they promised that even death wouldn't separate them. But even though we know that this snapshot doesn't accurately predict that they will always follow Jesus, for these moments, for this moment that we read about here, however brief, they do. They had even more success in healing, apparently, than Jesus does. But understand, it was given His authority. Again, that clue. And Mark gives us this portrait of stumbling apostles so that in part we know that Jesus is a merciful Lord. Amen? He's merciful. He calls us, and even if we don't think we're good enough or brave enough, we follow Him, and He never fires us to get a better crew. He doesn't fire us. Mark gives us plenty of pictures of the 12. He gives us plenty of pictures of them stumbling, so that when we stumble, we'll know that that's not the end of our relationship with the Master. And Mark's 12 don't always fail, though, because we have this story, and we have others. They do leave everything they have to follow Jesus. And on some days, by relying on the authority that Jesus gave them, and by following His rules, they overcome the demons and they heal sick people. And that's what we're supposed to keep in our minds. We know that we're going to fail just as the disciples did. And what we have to believe is that by following the call that Jesus has placed on our life, we can do His work in our world. We can discover the true freedom that we have in Christ, who gives us authority to do His work, who gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us, and power through the Holy Spirit to actually do the work. And in doing so, we're not outdoing Jesus. Maybe we are. We're outdoing Jesus. Maybe I just forgot to hit a space bar after out. We're outdoing for Jesus. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be used by You in ways that we can't even imagine. Most of the time we relate more to the disciples and their stumbling and bumbling and messing up. But then we read a passage like this and we study this and we see that even those who normally stumble and bumble along, with Your authority, with Your power, can do miraculous things. Father, we pray that You would allow us that privilege this week. Not for our own glory, but for Your glory. That You would be lifted up and that You would be glorified by what You do through us. Father, we pray for that opportunity. And we pray that when it comes our way, that we would recognize it. And that we would step boldly into that role to be used by You, so that we can be out doing Jesus' work. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, this is your day. I'll be very straight on that. God, it's no accident that you're here. And if you're not a believer, He knew that you would be here. And He knew that I would be extending this opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'll be glad to share with you how you can pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're going to be singing here in just a moment. If you'll come down, I'll be glad to share with you. Or if you want to catch me after the service, I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you then. If you're here and you would like to become a member of College Park, there are several ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you really have not been making yourself available to Jesus, you haven't been looking for opportunities to be used by Him, this is a day for you to set that straight. say to God, I want to be used by you. Like those stumbling disciples, you know, I want to be used by you if you will do that. And this altar will be open. You can come pray here. You can certainly pray where you are. But this would be a good opportunity for you to make yourself available to the work of Jesus Christ, God's work that's happening all around us. Whatever your decision is, I challenge you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, as we go, help us to recognize those biddings, those callings, those opportunities you put in our path. Father, as we've worshiped together, we've learned from you, we've been encouraged by you. We pray now that we would be able to put it in practice as we walk daily with you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.